Yo, this is Jake Cuts Fresh, and you're checking out the Barbering in Real Life podcast. This is for all barbers, no matter your age, race, or status.
Barber Life.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy Jake. Back with another episode. Let me see. Jake_cuts_fresh is where you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's my two main socials. And of course, jakecutsfresh.com. Go over and join the mailing list. I want to try to get some people on there. If you could. I'm not forcing you. But if you could, it'd be nice because I want to get a little community going through email. See how it goes. But anyway, back to having some guests. This is a man that I've met through the podcast. Through Instagram, DMs, exchange numbers, been talking, and been helping him in his career, and he's been helping me in my life. And it's pretty unbelievable what can happen when you decide that you're passionate about this barbering thing and you open your heart and your mind to things. So without further ado, I want to introduce my buddy Hunter Butler. Hunter, what's going on?
Not much. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Now, Hunter, tell everybody where you're from and what you're doing.
So I live in Bolivar, Missouri, southwest Missouri, so just north of Springfield, just south of KC. I'm from, like, the Ozarks, so if you ever watch the show Ozark on Netflix, about my life. Not, like, my life, but, like, my area. So the big Native American that you see on there and, like, the strip that they were at, like, I grew up on that strip. Playing skee ball and stuff, so that's where I'm from.
I didn't realize I was out there. For some reason I thought Ozark was out in Arkansas or something, but I think that's the Ozark Mountains. I don't know, maybe. That's cool. Okay, all right, and so you are freshly graduated out of barber school. Well, no, it's been a couple months now, right?
Yeah, since November. Okay. October, something like that. Yeah.
Excellent, man. Excellent. And did you go full-time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah, so I went full time.
Yeah, tell me about that. How was that for you?
Oh man, it was stressful. It was super stressful. So 20. Let's see. This is now what 2022. Wow. So 2020 was super hard. I went through like really bad time during that time because of COVID and everything. Got a new job in November of 2020. Got laid off from that job, and I told my wife, I was like, yo, like, I want to go to barber school. Like, I was a welder, you know, I did, like, been in the military for 8 years, I've done this, I've done that, and I'm like, look, I want to cut hair, like, you know I love cutting hair, and always wanted to cut hair. Yeah. And so my wife was like, just do it. I'm like, okay. So I started barber school in March of 2021.
Okay.
And just really excelled a lot to the point that instructors were like, yo, like, go ask Hunter for questions because he's better at X, Y, Z. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, you excel in certain areas that some of the instructors are like, I don't even know how to do that or whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, barber school was good. I mean, it was long. It was grueling. It was 40 hours in every week.
Yeah.
On top of that, you know, when I first started barber school, I was working 40 hours at a boys' home for troubled teens. So I had that going on. So that was really hard.
So you decided to go to barber school. You said you always liked cutting hair. When did you start, like, how did you know that? Did you start messing around with haircuts at home with friends?
So this sounds so cheesy. So Barbershop came out in 2002.
Yeah.
With Ice Cube.
Yeah. Great film.
I was like 7 or 8 when I saw that. And I was like, oh, I want to cut hair so bad. You know, and from where I'm from, there was like one barbershop in like a 60-mile radius. They didn't make money. You know, you either went to the salon or the Sam's Club, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So my mom like foo-fooed it, you know, because she's like, you're too intelligent to be a barber, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. So I cut hair in the barracks.
We'll all try not to take offense to that.
Right. And so I cut hair in the barracks when I was on active duty. And I was pretty good at like high fades. high end tights, and obviously like buzz it all, you know, zero all over, obviously. But, and finally I was just like, you know what? COVID destroyed my family. And I was like, I gotta be my own boss. I like, regardless, I know barbers that even during 2020, during the shutdown, they made good money because they did house calls. Because everybody needs a barber. Everybody needs a haircut.
Right.
It's just a fact of, I mean, you know, look at history. It's going to be there no matter what. So, and that's, you know, that's essentially like taking a chance on myself on something that I wanted to do and growing out of my shell.
Yeah.
Is basically how I came to cut hair.
That's pretty interesting, man. I seem to find you guys that are super tenacious, man. Like, just like, that's pretty wild for you to go up like, nah, that's what I feel like doing, you know?
Yeah.
And just jump ship from welding, because as far as I know, welders out here make good money. I don't know how
they're doing reserve. Yeah, traveling, you can make really good money. I used to make, like, upwards of six figures, sometimes over, just depending on the year, the season.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, if I took a stint home, because I hated welding outside in the frigid air, like, I hated it. Like, I hate the cold. I don't mind it. Like, if I'm bundled up, I'm fine, but I don't like it.
You gotta do work, yeah.
So I would come home and work in the shops, and I'd make, like, $18 an hour, which is all right. But at the same time, when you go from, like, $30 to $40 an hour on the road to $18 an hour, that's, like, chump change.
Yeah, it's like half.
Yeah, so it was, you know, and that's, and I'm not trying to sound ungrateful or anything like that, because I grew up poor as dirt, but it's just a matter of the fact, like, there's some jobs, like, I could weld the same thing here that they do out where you're at, because it's mostly union on the East Coast, and, you know, make $40 out there union, but here make 16, 15, 14, 12, depending on the company.
Yeah.
So that's, it's just kind of like a toss up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I noticed as I traveled around the country, I noticed, like, different areas of different levels of income. And it reflects in, like, you know, I remember going to North Carolina with a friend of mine, and the rent was about half the price. And I'm like, what the hell? Maybe I should move down here. But the pay was, like, half the price. You know, they were getting half the rate. So it is what it is. All right, so you step into barber school, and you do that full time, plus you're working, right? Plus you have children.
Yeah.
Right?
Plus... COVID almost killed me.
Yeah, plus that, you know. So, you know, you got, like, pretty much no excuse for anybody else, because it can be done. You know, without getting too personal, I know we know a good amount about each other now, but you had some real trials and tribulations through that time, and so you snapped out of it and got yourself set up and jumped into barber school. I think that's pretty incredible, man. Did you find that a lot of people in barber school were in the same position as you?
No, actually. A lot of the people that I went to barber school with were either previous self-taught barbers who thought they knew everything in the world, which is, I could be a master barber, but... A buddy of mine who is a master barber, he's been cutting hair for 50 years. He's about to keel over eventually. He could, like, look away and do an complete, like, mid-temp fade on a dude with a lineup and look back, and 30 minutes later it's done, and he didn't even look at the dude's head, right? That's how good this guy is. He still tells me to this day, like, I learn something new every single day.
Yeah.
Right? So, and there's those kids that I went to school with who didn't have that mentality, right?
Right.
So you, like, I, you know, as a senior, would go up and be like, hey, man, like, can I help you with something real quick? Because I saw you miss something. No, I got it, dog. Okay. All right. Cool. You just left this dude with a jacked up haircut.
Yeah.
You know, or you get people that they just want a career change. You know, like, one of my friends, shout out to Amanda, she's worked in law enforcement for 20 years. And she's just done. She's done with everything that's going on in the world and the way that they're getting treated.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, and so she's like, I've wanted to cut hair since I was 18. And so now she's becoming a barber. You know what I mean? So it was, you know, and then you have the high school kids and stuff like that. But I mean, it was just hit or miss. It was just people from different aspects of life at school. And it's cool to see that.
Yeah, that was my experience as well. there was a group of guys that were old as my dad, you know. I should say old, because when I was in barber school, my dad was like 42. Holy shit, that's my age. I can't believe my parents sometimes. I'm like, wow, like at 42 years old, all my parents, all their kids would graduate high school. That's crazy. But anyway, yeah, so there was guys that were that age. There were second career guys. There was guys fresh out of jail. There was guys that were fresh out of rehab. There was a lot of young kids that the parents were like, you got to do something. And then there was guys like me who would like tried college but didn't really like it and that kind of thing. And it was a really cool mix, man. I enjoyed that quite a bit. But I think it was interesting how much you reached out. Not how much, but like how you reached out. And we were just talking back and forth, and you know, we just exchanged numbers and like just straight up tell you stuff, you know, on the phone or whatever. You seem to have this drive that's very interesting to me from a distance, right? Because, you know, I know a lot of people DM me and I talk to a lot of people, but not everybody do I send my phone number to. And then I started doing that with you, and I'm like, I could see pretty quickly you're not just a regular cat, man. You got these ideas, and you got this vision, and you've also seen some shit. You've also gone through some shit. You know, you're not like a newbie to this life. You know, probably ain't your first time around the earth either. But anyway, so quickly goes from that to graduating barber school to starting my own product line. And I'm like, okay, cool. And we talked about that really quick on the phone. But you had a lot of questions, and you were like, I could do this and I could do that. And you're like, really, like, use me as a resource, which one is super flattering. But two, like, I'm like, wow, he is not wasting this opportunity to speak to somebody who's been in the industry longer. And I also had no problem sending you over to my guy Rocco at Uplift and have you talk to him, because he's been through everything and back, you know. Right. Shout out to Rocco.
Yeah, he's good people.
Yeah, and it's like, I started realizing, like, yo, this kid's got a crazy drive. And then, like, I don't know, 5 days later, you're like, hey, there's this space for rent. It's this much square feet. It's this much per month. What do you think? I'm like, are you, like, how much can you charge for a haircut out there? Like, yeah, like, yeah, do it. Like, 100% do it. And, you know, so I don't want to skip around. But basically, you've been graduated from barber school since November. You've got a product line that you've... Oh, first of all, where are my samples at, man? You didn't send me my freaking samples. We got to get that going.
Yeah, no, I need to make more. Or grab some from the boutique.
Well, hurry up.
Because I haven't been real and selling at the boutique, but they've been selling at the shop.
Okay.
So cool. I need to pull them from the boutique.
So talk to me about that. So what do you got there? What did you make? I know what it is, but tell them.
Yeah. So right now I have two different scents of beard oil. I have the original, which is more like a manly musk smell. And then I have the Clean Freak, which is more of like a cleaner smell. You know, nice. Something you would get in like a nice clean pomade or clean shampoo or hand soap, you know, cool something name. Like that. And then I was working on a pomade, and I was trying to stay 100% natural, because for our hair, that's regardless of what your ethnicity is, it's better to stay natural for your hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But to get the consistency of like pomade and stuff that we have these days between Uplift, Suavecito, all these other companies.
Yeah.
It's very hard to stay natural. And I've come to realize I've done probably upwards of 500 different batches.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And come to find out that I don't think I'm going to be able to stay natural with my pomade. My beard butter and beard balm, I can. But my pomade, I don't think I'm going to be able to. So fast forward a little bit. I said, screw it. And I just wholesale ordered some from Rocco.
Yeah.
And because... quite frankly, I'm the only retailer for Uplift Provision Company in the entire Midwest of the country. Yeah.
Wow.
So that kind of gives me a little bit of a oomph, you know, yeah. So to speak. But yeah, so I just have two beard oils, beard butter right now. I'm out of beard balm, and my pomade is going in the trash.
Yeah.
So
hey,
until
man.
I get that figured out.
That's good that you figured that out, though. You don't want to waste your time, man. You're smart like that, you know. That's a good move. I wish I had those instincts. I feel like, you know, my instincts are to just beat it into the ground until it's just there. And then I just get pissed and walk away and complain about it for a year. Instead of just letting stuff go.
My wife is a saint and has worked with me tremendously to make it to where I'm like not beating a brick wall with my head until I'm dead. You know what I mean?
I do. I actually do. That's cool. All right, so you got that going on, and then you were in a shop too. And I don't know, are you still at that shop part time, or that's done?
No. So how do I put this? So
yeah, I know things got a little weird. You don't have to get into it if you don't want to.
It got a little weird because I got the space for my shop, and it got a little weird, so I ended up leaving there. And I love the guy; he's good people. It just ruffled feathers that it didn't mean to.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't meant ill will or anything, obviously, but yeah, so now I'm in my own shop. So
yeah. So when is your is your shop open yet? Is your new shop ready to go? Or
yes and no.
Gotcha. So technically the state board hasn't checked it out, but you're still cutting in there until they come. Yeah, I did the same thing.
Because really, from the way that state has talked, they're too busy to do pop-in inspections right now.
Yeah. Well, and make sure you get it. Make sure you get the actual. Make sure you do it the right way, because you don't want to mess with your livelihood.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm. They're supposed to be doing their thing. I don't know what's happening, but. But yeah, I'm only doing appointments right now. So it's mostly just like in the evenings.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and so what's the name? Okay, so, all right, I'm trying to think of how I want to approach this. So November Barber School, I think you're talking like around that same time you're talking about the beard oils. You get that going, those are selling. And then when did you sign a lease on the shop?
November 17th or 18th, right before Thanksgiving or right after.
Okay.
One or the other. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, it was one or the other.
All right. So, I mean, it's like bing, bang, boom for you. I think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing. All right. So you got that. So what's the name of your shop? Do you have a website yet? Sorry, I'm all over the place.
I don't have a website. I have a Facebook page and a Booksy. It's just Butler Barbering LLC, BUTLER Barbering LLC.
Cool.
It's been really good because, so where I live, there's 3 barber shops in our town. They all charge like $10 or $12. They've all been there for 20, 30, 40 years. They haven't changed their prices at all, ever. The closest barbershop up to that is 20 miles north. I think he charges like 15 or 20. And then the closest barbershop after that is 40 miles south down to Springfield. And the average going rate for a fade is like $30, $25, $30.
Okay.
And so we had talked about this. You know, I was like, what do I charge?
Yeah.
You know, I was really worried, like, I'm not going to get the foot traffic that I want. Which I have come to find out, because I am completely booked tomorrow and the next day the next day.
Hey now.
Don't care.
Yeah, they just want a good
cut. Yeah, because people drive literally 40 miles south of where I live to go get a haircut at Sports Clips, where they're going to charge $40.
Sports Clips.
You know what I mean?
Yikes.
I mean, there's barbershops. People go to barbershops down there, but you get what I'm saying. Like, they would rather drive to Springfield and get in somewhere right then, or a place that does appointments like I do, versus sitting for 2.5 hours for a 15-minute haircut.
Right.
That may or may not be good because the guy's rushing.
Right.
And not to speak ill will of these guys, because I only know one of them personally. And
I know what you're saying. You make it a generalization. You know, this is what barbers do for the most part. All right. Wow. So that's crazy, man. So that's that. That's that. Mm-hmm. Boom. So November to January, 3 months. So this is great, man. So what do you think it is about you, man, that allows you and or forces you or compels you to be this driven?
Oof. Honestly, I think it's because of my upbringing, you know, because I have a lot of faith in God. I've been through hell and back. I've talked to you about some of the stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that I've been through between alcoholism and, you know, my separation with my wife last year, but the year before 2020, which was really rough and things like that. But really, I think it's because, like, my mom was pretty abusive when I was a kid, and we were poor as dirt. I hear little feet pattering around. I grew up so poor that, like, most of my clothes were hand-me-downs growing up.
Yeah.
Like, my shoes were hand-me-downs. Like, you know, we would have stuff donated. And I have a 7-year-old. I'm 26, right? I had a kid right out of high school. I joined the military right out of high school. And that played a big part. Like, I wrestled for 10 years. I was a very driven human.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you don't... Oh, he just wanted to check on where I was. Sorry, my 2-year-old was like, where's dad? Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you know, I wrestled for 10 years. I was in the Army, or am in the Army. You know, and I've got this drive because I don't want my kids to grow up like I did.
Mm.
You know, I've got a 2-year-old. I've got my 7-year-old, and my wife is pregnant again.
Oh,
and
hey, yeah, let it rip. Let it rip. Wow.
She's,
congrats.
She's 19, 20 weeks pregnant, something like that.
Wow.
And so, you know, and like, so this past year, I almost died of COVID, literally. Like, I was on oxygen for like 3.5 months.
Hmm.
And I realized after that, like, we only, like, I hate the saying YOLO, like, you only live once.
Yeah. But yeah, well, people use it wrong. People use it when they're, like, ripping a nitrous hit. Like, oh, yeah. YOLO, fucking yeah. My brain, bro.
But that's like...
but yeah,
but
no,
that's,
you're right.
That's what I'm looking at, you know? I'm like, seriously, you only live once. Like, why not take a chance? Why lay in your deathbed at 85 years old wondering, what if I had done this?
Right.
What if I had taken a chance? My kids' lives could have been better. My life could have been better.
Yeah.
My marriage could have been better, right? So not only am I opening this barbershop, right? It's a faith-based barbershop. I'm going to seminary classes online.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can become a pastor one day.
Jeepers.
And, yeah, and I'm hosting a men's ministry at my barbershop after hours.
Very cool.
You know, to just men in general, but I'm focusing, you know, I've worked in law enforcement too and stuff like that, but like focusing more on first responders from across the board. To veterans with PTSD, and it doesn't even have to be like combat driven or on calls. Like, you know, a lot of my friends, their traumas from childhood, you know, and that progresses into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can tackle that, we can tackle life ahead of us. And that's what I've done, right? I tackled my trauma. Now I have the armor, so to speak, to go forward and tackle life. And that's what I've done. Went to barber school.
Man, it's friggin'
beautiful.
Started
my own line. Got my own barber shop. Now I just got to figure out what's next.
Yeah, well, why don't you have a kid become a pastor and open your shop first, and then...
yeah, and then we'll figure out...
Then you can figure out the next thing.
What's going on after
yeah.
that. Yeah.
My
wife says,
man,
I need to slow down sometimes, but
well,
at the same time, she likes my drive.
Yeah, I think, you know, I struggle with completion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a million ideas, but I don't have much completions under my belt, and... I've been going through some stuff myself, which I'm, you know, not wanting to talk about right now.
Right.
But, you know, that's when you start looking for all these motivational videos and you start looking for quotes and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, really, really keyed in on the fact that people don't give a shit about your ideas. And I'm always, my problem is always searching for approval.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always searching for approval. And it's a real problem. It's childish. It's childish. And a lot of people that know me, like, I can't see that in you. I don't get that from you. But when you really get to know me under all of it, if you don't like what I'm doing, I get really upset about that. And not like I'm butthurt by it, but like I feel like I'm letting you down. And I really feel bad about that. And I get sad. And then sadness turns to anger. And then I pretend that it's not there. And it's this whole fucking cycle of craziness. All right. This is like really stuff I'm learning about myself through this whole process I'm in right now. Anyway, I'm saying all that to say that, there's through these situations, people could come out of it. People could come out of your situation and be like, I can't win no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Or then come on and be like, I have no choice but to win.
Exactly.
And so I find it so interesting. And everybody I've had on here that has that mentality, they don't know what it is. And I don't really either. But I just think it's so interesting. And I can't talk about it enough. Because yeah. I am more so on the other side. And my wife is more so like, well, you got to keep going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's unbelievable what you've done. I think it's unbelievable what you're doing for other men. And I hope that you really do it. I hope that me applauding you now isn't so that you go, okay,
right.
Cool, and stop. That like I do myself. People applaud the completion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so for me, when I'm sitting here looking for everybody to have my back and tell me I'm doing awesome, that's a weakness that I have. And they're not gonna really get a chance to do that or really do that until I complete the thing. You know what I'm saying? And so that's it. So, you know.
Yeah. Like, so for me, so when you were talking about the drive, like, I don't know how much you know about these other people that you've talked to specifically, but, like, how many of those people completely, like, straight up not, oh, I hit rock bottom, what? No, dead ass hit rock bottom to the point where the only place they had to go was up.
Right.
Because that was me, right? The end of 2020, that was me. And the only place I had to go was up, right?
Wow.
So it's just been an upward progression over and over. And I've learned so much about myself in this self-reflection time. You know, I've been going to therapy once a week the past 6 years.
That's great.
And that's, and my counselor is also a spiritual counselor too. So that also helps me.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know. It's just something that I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Nobody can explain it, bro. It's a beautiful thing. That's what I love about it. So, you know, so some of the people I've talked to have been rock bottom type people. Not all. But when you were going through what you were going through,
mm-hmm.
did you envision this for yourself at that time, or were you like just working one day at a time trying to get through stuff, and then like you started to kind of see some blessings come your way as you were doing the work? I know that's kind of a weird ask question. The way I asked that question was weird, but was it more so like you couldn't never envision this for yourself and stuff just started to happen, you started to kind of just go with the flow? Or was it more like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I want, I'm fixing myself until I get this?
It's funny you say that. So a little about, like, the story that made me hit rock bottom to where I am now, right? So, October 2020, my wife and I, like, physically separated. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem talking about this on the podcast. Like, mm-hmm. I've already talked to my wife about it.
Yeah.
You know, I was really, really bad alcoholic. I was struggling with a lot of my own demons from my childhood and from just different things that I've seen throughout my life and dealt with. And so things got really bad one night. My wife and I had a huge fight. We were like going back and forth about getting back together. I got blackout drunk and attempted suicide.
Mm.
Literally almost took my own life. Like, that's how bad the overdose was. They didn't think that I was going to make it. A couple days later, got out of the hospital, went back. And at this time, mind you, I was living in my camper at a campground, right? Because I used to be a traveling welder, so we still have our camper.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, sorry, excuse me. And then my wife was just like, look, you got to get your shit together. She's like, I love you so much. You have got to get your shit together. And I told her, I was like, look, like, I've been looking at barber schools. You know, I'm back in jiu-jitsu. You know, I've been sober for 3 days. You know, this, that, and the other. And she's like, if you really want to go to barber school, fucking do it. Excuse my language. She's like, fucking do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And she goes, I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you go to night class. I don't care if you go full-time. I don't care if I have to bust my ass into the ground so you can go to school full-time. If that's what you want to do, you're doing it. Mm. And that's what I did.
Mm.
Because I realized right then and there, that was God's calling for me.
Mm.
Right? I went to a program, Mighty Oaks. Shout out to Mighty Oaks. Warrior program that's for veterans and law enforcement with PTSD, things like that. They got me straightened out, and it's just been an uphill. I don't want to say battle or slide, because it's not really a slide, obviously, it's a climb.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, there's been barriers in front of me that I have put my shoulder down and just smashed into that most people would have bounced back.
Yeah.
Because of my tenacity, because I hit rock bottom.
Yeah, because you got nothing to lose.
Yeah, because I know what rock bottom is for me.
Yeah.
And I'm never going back, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, man. Wow.
That's essentially, like, always wanted to cut hair, but it was the month of October/November of 2020 that changed my life forever.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that, and thank God for meeting you. Thank God for this podcast. It's been, it's just as much for me as it is for you guys. You know, I through my situation I'm in right now, man, I realized a couple things about myself. Number one, I don't know how to be happy. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know how to be happy. I don't, like, I say I choose happiness, and I'm happy from time to time, but my, like, just me in a room, I'm kind of always in a fight or flight fucking state of mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what makes me happy? So I started remembering when I used to be always happy. Number one thing that comes to mind is service to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one way I get joy. It's the best. And so when you reach out to me, or when another cat reaches out to me and wants some help, it fulfills a purpose for me. You know what I'm saying? Fulfills it fills in this happiness thing for me.
Now, stop me.
Yeah.
But this may be, if that's the case, I would talk to your wife about a couple nights a week going and working at a barber college. If they do night program.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's like one night a week, because what you've done for me, you could do for so many other kids.
Yeah, that's
men, women. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you saying that. That is the ultimate goal for me, bro, is to open my own barber school out here in Massachusetts. There's a need for one in my area. All the barber schools are 45 minutes away from me, 45 to an hour.
Yeah, we had people driving an hour and a half.
Yeah. See, like, I gotta find. Insane. That's the tough part too, is because I can't. It's been hard to staff my shop because there's no barber schools close. Most people go to a school that's close. Most people. So I gotta search a little harder, dig a little deeper. Anyway, I say all that to say that I started the podcast back up again weekly, regularly, because it makes me happy to know that I'm helping people. Now, I've been very clear since I came back after COVID that I feel like a fraud in a lot of ways. I was giving out information that I didn't necessarily know. I knew how to teach it, but I didn't know how to use it. If that makes any sense.
Right.
Great metaphor I came up with. I have a giant ego that fills the void between knowledge and wisdom. So this is going to be a teaching moment for all of us. This is something I learned. There's a great movie out there called Peaceful Warrior. It was a book called The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. You should read it and then watch the movie, because there's much, much more in depth in the book. Anyway, he says, knowledge, you have knowledge, but you don't have wisdom. And he said, what's the difference? He goes, well, knowledge is, this is knowledge. You know how to clean a windshield? He's like, yeah. And he throws him the squeeze. He goes, wisdom's doing it.
Right.
Right. So I've learned all of these things about all of these things. I read like 20 to 30 books a year. I learn all these skills. I learn all these things. And I teach them to you guys. And I teach them to this person. I teach them that. But I don't use them.
Right.
Right? So this metaphor I came up with is like, imagine this guy who's a woodworker. He wants to be a woodworker. He wants to work with wood. He wants to make things for people. Okay? And he starts buying all these tools because he knows how they are going to help him make these things. And he learns everything about the tool. He researches all the tools. He buys them. He looks at them and he takes them apart and he puts them back together and he lends them out and he's constantly helping everybody with the tools. He's giving them tools. But then somebody close to him asks him to make something for them and he can't. Because he actually doesn't know. That's me. I actually don't know how to do stuff. I actually know how to teach it without actually doing it, which is from a distance seems cool, but in real life, to my close family and friends, it's bullshit. And so yeah. I've had to call myself out on that, and it's been very painful to go like, wow, man. All right, so what's my favorite books I've read over the last 5 years? I'm actually reading them, and then I'm doing the work in the fucking book. I'm doing the work. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm doing it now, you know, and I'm going back, and I'm learning, and it's been incredible, man, to just get more hands-on. So anyway, you have your knowledge. But it doesn't become wisdom until you have the balls to use the knowledge and gain experience. And then you have wisdom. And then once you have the wisdom, you can actually do stuff. Until then, that void, for me, gets filled with ego. And ego kills relationships. It kills a lot of stuff. And looking back now, I'm reading this book now. I read this book. I listened to the whole thing, audiobook, this week, and I'm just started over again because it's so good. It's called Ego is the Enemy. It's like, couldn't come at a better time for me.
I wanted to say I read that book.
It's Ryan Johnson. He's written some great books. The Obstacles, The Way, the Daily Stoic. And so, anyway, so get through that book, and I'm starting to read all the Stoics. I'm starting to read Marcus Aurelius and Seneca and all this. I'm like, oh my God, man, there's so much information out there that I've been like, showing you how to get, but not actually taking it in. And right. So for that, I will admit on the show here, right now, in that respect, I am a fraud. It's very...
Well, I wouldn't exactly say in all aspects, right?
No, just in that because, respect. And I mean, I've been cutting here for 20 years. I know what I'm talking about behind the chair, right?
Right.
And I know what I'm talking about with the industry. Like, that's no problem. But when it comes to telling people how to better themselves, I can't even fix my own shit, so I'm no longer going to try to fix other people.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's all.
It's been a long day, man. 2 + 2 = fish. I'm getting it. We'll get through this podcast.
Yeah, man. I mean, and I think we got a lot here. I don't think we need to go on too much further, brother. I think this is the beginning of many great conversations. I know. I think it was back in November. I told you I'd get you on after the holidays, and I meant it. You know, I wanted you also to like actually get some more experience too before you came on. It looks like you went ahead and did that.
Because you sat on the phone with me for like half an hour one day and explained how to do this super blurry fade, right?
Yeah.
And the next day, I had to get off the phone for whatever reason. Next day, I was still in school at the time. And I'm like, all right, this dude comes in, wants the same thing. This is what I'm going to do. Literally, dude comes in, wants the same thing that you and I talked about, did it, crushed it.
Nice.
I didn't leave a line, didn't leave any dark spots. You know, it looked clean.
Yeah.
And I can still do that, right? But the this is so dumb. The way my shop is set up right now, it's kind of like overvescent, whatever those old light bulbs are. And
I've
got to put new lighting in because I've got like 4 freaking ring lights around my station. I still can't see.
You got to get the good lights.
It's so bad. And my neighbor who owns the laundromat next door was like, you need to upgrade to LED. And I was like, well, I'm over on my budget already. Yeah. You know, because I've put my life savings into this shop. Like, the reason we opened a barbershop is because we aren't able to buy a house because the housing market's so high.
Yeah, it's crazy right now.
Like, even so, like, if the housing market was like it was 2 years ago with our credit, we'd be fine.
Mm.
You know, we could buy a house completely just fine. But the way it is now, we can't. And so my wife was like, yo, let's sit down, let's come up with a budget and open a shop.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, thinking it was a joke, you know. And then 2 weeks later, I text you like, yo, I found this spot, you know. And you're like, do it, bro.
Yeah, you got to do that. That money just made so much sense, man. The numbers made so much sense.
And I broke it down. It's like 2 haircuts a day. Bro, I did 3 haircuts today.
Yeah.
So as long as I stay on that track, I'm already ahead.
I mean, I love it. That's it. And when you know, the thing is, we came up with that budget, right? So you know. So when you know you're short, you can go hunt. When you don't know, you're just guessing at the end of the month, and you're putting it together going,
And that's my thing, is like, I added $350 more on my monthly budget for like bills, right?
Oh, like you added extra just in case numbers? Yeah, cool.
Because where, so like my, so I get money from the VA, right? Because I'm disabled. I get VA disability, right? My wife makes decent money. But on top of that, like around here, there's so much money side hustle. Like if I truly needed to come up with like $500, I could go donate plasma twice a week and make $500 to make rent for the shop or make the utility bill. Like it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
People that can't make booth rent, why can't you make booth rent? Oh, well, I only work 2 days a week. Get off your lazy ass and go fucking cut hair.
Yeah.
Work you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when I was on booth rent, I was there day in and day out, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
That is unheard of where I'm from.
Yeah, wow.
And I was still making booth rent. You know, I was still making clients.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you got the drive, bro, and I hope it's contagious. I hope people hear this and I hope they can relate to your story, man, because you're bringing something that I just don't understand, that the whole military side of things and the PTSD and that. I've not experience that, so it's great to have you on and just get through that, man. All right, so I want to wrap this up because well, to be dead honest with you, I got to get to bed because I'm going to the gym at 4:30 tomorrow morning. So
oh God, bless your soul.
So that's been a big outlet for me.
I need to go to
the gym. You got enough going on, man. Just do your thing. You'll get there. It's seasons, brother. Seasons for everything. All right, so tell people your Instagram, and then if you have any parting wisdom, like a couple sentences that you want to knock out for any young cat thinking about getting in the game, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, my Facebook is Butler Barbering LLC, and I'm just making sure my Instagram is also Butler Barbering LLC. You can hit me up on there. You can hit me up on butlerbarbering.com or butlerbarbering.com. butlerbarbering@gmail.com. I check my email daily. Really all I gotta say is just like take a chance on yourself, you know. You don't want to be 80, 90 years old and wondering what could have been, right? I would rather attempt something and fail than never have attempted it and say, oh, I could have done that, and I would have never known. So always attempt. If you fail, get back up, dust yourself off, go back in, do it again. Try it again. Hustle. Amen. Hustle's the name of the game in barbering, bro.
Yeah. That's it. Do as much as you can. Good. All right, homie. I'll talk to you soon anyway. We gotta get more conversations going. I've been learning a lot from you on the other side of things, so I appreciate it. All right, so until next time, my friends, hit me up, hit him up. We're here to help, and we make the world a better place. And this whole barbering thing is crazy, the people I'm meeting. I'm so blessed, man, thankful. I'm thankful for everybody listening, checking in. If you get a chance, go and rate and subscribe, please, to the podcast. It helps me see what I'm doing. It helps it helps me see what I'm good at and what I'm not, and, you know, what episodes are good and what aren't, you know. So appreciate you, man. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye.
All right, bye.